Just this week, two dogs mauled a Coleraine Township woman as her children watched in horror from inside her car. She's one of thousands of people in Ohio attacked by dogs each year. In some cases, victims are disfigured, lose limbs, or even die. But a USA Today Network investigation found the state laws penalizing dog owners and protecting victims are weak. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the impact of these attacks and what could be done to strengthen Ohio's laws are Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Laura Bischoff, Ohio mom Drew Russell, and Licking County Chief Dog Warden Larry Williams. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Drew, I know it must be so painful to talk about this, but could you tell us about what happened to your daughter, Avery?
Yes. On June 11th, 2024, I took my daughter over to a friend's house for a play date. And they left the mother's house where I dropped her off to and went to the mother's cousin's house.
I know this has to be difficult.
Yeah. And I knew they were going over there. I spoke to them. It was less than an hour between the two phone calls. I was at work and I remember her friend calling and she was like crying and very hard to understand. And she was just saying, your daughter got bit. And I was like, what do you mean she got bit? And I was unaware that there were dogs at this house. She said, your daughter got bit. And I'm like, what do you mean she got bit? And she was just like crying uncontrollably. But at the end of the day, this is a situation. You're a child. I need to speak with an adult. So I'm asking to speak with her mom. And she's telling me, well, first I asked to speak to Avery. And she said, Avery's outside laying on the ground. And, you know, I'm like, what? So I'm really confused. So then I asked to speak to her mom. She said her mom is laying outside on the ground with Avery. So then I'm really lost and confused. So then I said, can I speak to your aunt? And she said, she's not here. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, who is there that's an adult? And she said, the neighbor. And I said, well, put the neighbor on the phone. So the neighbor gets on the phone. And he's not much help either. Doesn't really know what's going on. And he says, the police are there. And I said, well, put one of them on the phone. And he said, they're not going to talk to you. I said, yes, the F, they will talk to me. I'm that child's mother. Put them on the phone. At this point, I'm getting very angry and upset. And I'm frustrated. I'm confused. I have no idea what's going on with my child. No one's telling me anything. I'm in my car at this point, so finally the officer gets on the phone and I'm just trying to figure out where do I need to come to. They're just saying my daughter got bit. So I'm just thinking, okay, I'll come to the house. I'll pick her up. We'll go to urgent care. She might need a few stitches, but you know, this is something we'll get through. She'll be fine in a week or two and she'll still have the rest of her summer vacation. How wrong was I? How wrong? The officer gets on the phone and by the sound of his voice, I could tell the situation was a little more serious. So I said, is she conscious? And he said, I can't confirm or deny that. And I said, is she alive? And he said, I can't confirm or deny that. And I said, well, what can you confirm or deny? I said, I'm on my way. He said, don't come here. Go to meet us at Children's. And I'm like, this is bad.
Yeah. And I want to warn our listeners that what happened to Avery is just awful and gruesome. this could be upsetting to some of our listeners, but please do go on, Drew. I know you did make it to the hospital. What was going through your mind when you saw your daughter there?
I was driving about 120 on the freeway, and I was actually praying I would get pulled over so that I could get a police escort to the freeway or to the hospital so I would get there faster. But I didn't. I actually didn't get pulled over. I'm like, you know, go figure. So I get to Children's, and I think I pulled in Children's. I was like on two wheels, and security finally slowed me down. And I was like, what? My daughter just got brought here in an ambulance. Where do I go? They directed me where to go. And I rush in, tell the front desk, and they're like trying to do all this registration stuff. And I'm like, I don't have time for that. My daughter just got brought here on an ambulance. Where do I go? So they had somebody take me. And I felt like it was the longest walk of my life because, mind you, I still didn't know the status. I didn't know if she was alive. I didn't know if she was okay. Like, I didn't know anything. So I just immediately start running down these halls, and we get to the trauma center, and I could see all this commotion, and I instantly just had this feeling. I knew it was her. But nothing could have prepared me for what I saw. I mean, it was like a scene out of a horror film. She was completely unrecognizable. Her face was just brutally, it was split open in half. It's an image that I'll never be able to unsee as long as I live, no matter how hard I try. I close my eyes, I can still see it.
Well, that's your baby.
It is my baby. And the first thing I said was, that's not my baby. And I just dropped to the ground. But I remember this chaplain, her name was Kelsey. She just radiated this wave of peace. And I don't know, it was something with her, with the interaction that I had with her, and seeing Avery and just being so scared and being so scared for her, and just, I couldn't imagine the agony that she was in and the pain that she was in. And I just, her left eye was like, it was split open. So it was sealed shut, and her right eye was closed. So I couldn't tell if she was like conscious, like awake. And I was just like, if you can hear mommy's voice, squeeze my hand. And she squeezed, I mean, it was like the faintest little squeeze, but it was just enough to give me hope that she was okay and she was alive. And then I just kind of stepped back, and I let the medical professionals do what they needed to do to save my child. I was like, just save her. Just save her.
Oh, Drew, my heart just breaks for you. Laura, you spent 8 months investigating dog attacks in Ohio. How often do attacks like this happen?
Well, it's kind of unclear. There's about 17,000 dog bites reported across Ohio each year. And a subset are very serious attacks. There's about 2 to 3 fatalities across Ohio each year reported up to the Centers for Disease Control. And there's a big underreporting of dog bites. People don't know that they're supposed to report dog bites to the local public health officials. Most of the reports come in through the dog wardens, urgent care, police officers, et cetera. so there is no clarity on how often the really serious attacks happen. But, you know, you see the news coverage pretty regularly of this happened here, or that happened there. And it's pretty consistent. You know, it's something that's definitely happening across Ohio regularly.
Larry, you're the chief dog warden in Licking County. How often do you and your staff get reports about dogs attacking people, or even dog attacking people's pets?
Yeah, here in Licking County, we have a pretty regular dog bites come across our desk, whether that be, you know, minuscule or serious. They vary in degree of seriousness, but yeah, we have quite a few, and they're pretty frequent from the health department. If
Sounds like we just lost Larry there for a second. We're talking about dog attacks in Ohio and whether state law does enough to penalize dog owners and protect victims. Do you have questions or comments or experience with this? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Larry, can you hear us? I'm not sure if we lost you, if you're back with us.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. Sorry to have interrupted you. We just lost you for a second there.
That's all right. I don't think my internet's very stable.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, when you get a call from someone who says, "Hey, my neighbor's dog is dangerous. The dog bit me or tried to bite me or even worse," what can you do about it as the chief dog warden?
So we do an investigation. We can, if we have a victim and or witnesses that are willing to proceed forward, testify in court, we can designate the dog, and then we can also issue criminal charges. And depending on certain circumstances, those vary from unclassified misdemeanors for the dog not under control or not confined properly. If there is a history that we can prove at trial, we can, per the Supreme Court ruling, we can then designate, or we can, sorry, not designate, we can then issue charges for that as a dangerous dog at large or a vicious dog at large. But we have to be able to show that history at trial.
And you mentioned a misdemeanor, Larry. What are the penalties for that? Do people pay fines? What are the consequences for the dog owners if they get that misdemeanor charge?
Sure, a misdemeanor charge is more or less just. It resembles like a speeding ticket. They can go pay the fine, or they have the right to go to a trial if they want. But it's, yeah, the minimum fine is 25, up to I believe it's 150.
And Laura, did you find that that's what's happening most commonly with dog owners whose dogs, become vicious and attack people?
Well, again, it's really hard to get your arms around how many dangerous dogs or vicious dogs there are in Ohio that have been deemed that way by the dog warden. As Larry Williams says, that you have to go through this whole process. You got to get people to actually report the bites in the first place, and then have the dog warden come out and do an investigation. Without those reports, it makes it much more difficult to make the case that the dog was vicious or dangerous if there's a subsequent attack. And I think that that it's really common after reporting this story that there's so many people that just tell me their own stories about being attacked or being bitten. And varying levels of injuries.
Drew, what did you expect to happen to the person who owned the dogs that attacked your daughter?
Well, I just immediately assumed that those dogs would be called vicious because of the extremity of the attack and her injuries. I mean, she needed immediately ambulatory care and was put in the critical care unit, had a 9-hour surgery, and had to be placed into a medically induced coma. That is not, she didn't get bit by a dog. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a little dog bite. She got mauled by two vicious pit bulls, and they still have not been labeled as vicious. And I don't
Still,
think that
after all this, it's been almost a year and they still haven't been labeled as vicious.
they still have not been labeled as vicious. One of the dogs actually got put down only because he was shot because tried to come at the police officer. And then he got shot one too many times, so they put him down. The female dog is still alive in the pound. Why? I don't know. Because, like, you're going to release her for her. It's not a situation of if she attacks again, it's when. And you're going to give the opportunity for this to happen again and possibly have more severe consequences. Like, at what point do you try to prevent things? Do you try to become proactive Like, why do we allow this to just keep happening? It's just like Larry said, they pay a little $25 fine and they go on about their daily lives. They continue to own dogs and they continue to own the same dogs, and it happens again and again and again and again, and then it doesn't get serious until someone dies. Why does it have to go to that extreme before people are actually held accountable? Why does someone have to die before there are actual charges? If a human did this to another human, it would be a manslaughter or attempted murder charge, right? Why is it not the same when it is when there's an animal, a vicious animal involved? I think it's the way the laws are written, they really fail humans and they protect these vicious animals and the people who are raising them to be this way, irresponsibly and violently.
Drew, did you get to talk to the person who owned these dogs who attacked your daughter? What did the dog owner say to you? Or I mean, I just can't even imagine what that conversation might have been like.
I talked to her the day it happened, and she was basically just trying to ask a bunch of prying questions. I'm not a stupid person, so I read through the fluff pretty quickly, and she was basically just kind of just asking a bunch of questions. I think she was just trying to check the status of my child, and of course I wasn't giving her anything. And then eventually, I was just trying to get my daughter's belongings from her, which I had told to give to the police, and she did not. Eventually, my family took over contact with her to get Avery's belongings, and I have had no contact with her at all. But she's shown no remorse. She has shown no compassion, no empathy for my daughter or our family or anything that we've gone through. And this Avery was 11 years old when this happened. Her life has changed forever.
We're going to continue our conversation after a short break. When we come back from the break, we'll discuss just exactly what Ohio law says. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the thousands of dog attacks that happen in Ohio every year. And a warning for our listeners, some of these attacks are quite gruesome and this can be difficult to hear about. My guests are Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Laura Bischoff, Ohio mom Drew Russell, and Licking County Chief Dog Warden Larry Williams. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Angie. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Thank you. And sorry to your guest as well. That is just absolutely horrible. But what I wanted to add is that when you speak to people who own any of these types of dogs, they're always saying that it has to do with how you raise them, how you rear them. Mine wouldn't do that because I raised them this way. And that is the continued thing. In the early 2000s here in Cincinnati, there was a big push at one point to change the city legislation because of this very reason. And that's what person after person after person came down and spoke at City Hall publicly to say. And so basically it just comes back to dogs having more rights than humans. And finally, I would just say to me, unless a person lives in a rural area where they have plenty of land, that should be the only way that people can keep that sort of animal, because it puts your whole community at risk.
Thank you, Angie. I appreciate those comments and thank you for listening. Laura, let's talk about what Ohio law does say. I mean, what does the state law say about dogs that attack people or other pets? Are there automatic penalties?
Well, and Larry can fact check me on this, but aggressive dogs kind of fall into three categories. And when their behavior is unprovoked and documented, and it breaks down to like a nuisance dog is one that acts in a menacing way towards somebody, growling, snapping, chasing. A dangerous dog is one that has been convicted of convicted three times of running loose or has caused a non-serious injury to somebody or killed another dog. And then vicious is one that has caused serious injury, like permanent incapacity, disfigurement, maiming, or has killed someone. And one of the quirks in Ohio law is that after a vicious attack leads to the death of someone, a judge may order euthanasia of the dog, but doesn't have to. Euthanasia is not mandated until the vicious dog gets out and kills a second person, which when you tell that to people, generally the response is like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, Larry, what do you think about that as somebody who deals with dogs all the time? Does that make sense to you, that quirk in Ohio law, as Laura put it?
Yeah, it's very lacking. It does not make sense to us dog wardens. What we had pre-2012 was all pit bulls were dangerous dogs. So that was, it was breed specific, BSL is what they call it. That was breed specific language. Any pit bull was a vicious dog. After 2012, I can't remember, it was March, something around there, they changed it to what we have now. Any dog that causes, an unprovoked incident now is going to be classified as dangerous or vicious. And Laura is right. There's three classifications: nuisance, dangerous, and vicious.
Well, Lucy, what's interesting is like after they get designated as a dangerous dog or a vicious dog, the owners have to follow certain restrictions, like keeping them in locked enclosures with tops on while at home, or muzzling them and keeping them on a short chain link leash when they're out for a walk, posting a sign that says something to the effect of beware of dog. But the law is silent on exactly what the sign has to say or how big it is or where it has to be posted. And then they're also supposed to go buy annual dangerous dog tags from the county auditor. And those are public records, but it's clear that a lot of, or at least some of the owners of dangerous dogs or vicious dogs never even go by the tags. There was a terrible case, a terrible attack in Columbus on March 2nd or 3rd. An 8-year-old child was attacked. His face was mutilated, his arm. He's at Nationwide Children's now. And the owner of at least one of the dogs had a previous dangerous dog designation, according to court records, and he didn't bother to buy the dangerous dog tags, according to the auditor's records.
Laura, the issue of pit bulls has come up. Larry just mentioned it, and I think that's what our previous caller was referring to. We got an email from someone who felt there was an unfair focus on pit bulls in some of this discussion. Your reporting mentions pit bulls, and in fact, Drew's daughter was attacked by pit bulls. What did your reporting find regarding pit bulls?
Well, as Larry said, the shift in the law back in 2012 went from breed-specific language, where it painted all pit bulls as dangerous, to it's like they're focusing on the deed of the dog rather than the breed of the dog now. And pit bulls are overrepresented in dog shelters, and they're pretty popular. It's actually not a specific breed, but they're a popular type of dog, and they have a big fan base for sure. They are pretty powerful dogs, and if a Chihuahua bites you, it's going to hurt, and it could do some damage. But when a pit bull or a larger dog, more powerful dog attacks you, the damage can be much more significant. I don't think we didn't focus on the specific breed of the dogs. It just so happens that pit bulls are involved in a lot of these devastating attacks.
Larry, what's your experience been with pit bulls? Because this listener who emailed us says she's encountered a lot of pit bulls that are sweet dogs.
Yeah, I think any dog can be a sweet dog, but as Laura was saying, it's the evidence suggests that it's the seriousness of the injury, right? Any dog can bite. We all know that. It's just the smaller dogs or the breeds that are have smaller mouths, not as much muscle. They don't cause as much damage. So when these larger dogs, these muscular dogs, do attack or bite, they're causing serious injury and sometimes fatalities. So it's an issue.
We have another caller on the line. I believe it is former Kentucky Senator John Schickel. Hey, Senator Schickel, thanks so much for calling.
Good day to you. What a timely discussion and something I've been concerned about for a long, long time. And it's good to hear the talk about it because we really are in a crisis situation in a lot of our neighborhoods with vicious dogs. And I experienced in Kentucky, in the Kentucky General Assembly, there was proposed legislation that even cities and counties couldn't pass ordinances that were breed specific. And it really causes a problem because I've just caught a little bit of your conversation, not all of it, but the data is very clear that pit bulls and Rottweilers, that was the one that wasn't mentioned, but maybe it was mentioned earlier, but those two breeds are causing just a lot of problems and even death. And, you know, I'm a retired police officer, and I've gone on calls where people were killed by these animals, and it's usually senior citizens or babies. And an old lady working in her garden. This just happened recently, but it also happened years ago, right here in northern Kentucky, where a lady was working in her garden, and a pit bull came over and killed her. And so the owners of these dogs don't want to have legislation passed that you can do breed-specific. But, you know, only common sense would tell you, especially cities and counties should be able to pass ordinances. You know, if there was a Brahma bull loose in your neighborhood or, you know, farm animals, a lot of farm cities have ordinances against farm animals in neighborhoods that was dangerous, those cities or counties should be able to pass ordinances to protect the citizens. And what we've seen, or at least what I've seen, is the animal rights groups just really come down hard on this issue. It is, I think, a public danger, and if you look at the stats, it's going on way more than what people realize. Mm.
Thank you, Senator Schickel. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your listening. Drew, did you want to weigh in on that? I mean, your daughter survived. Thank God she survived, but just a vicious attack.
I do. I mean, the only reason my daughter survived was because there was quick-acting neighbors, and one of the neighbors happened to be getting their house power washed, and thank God for the power washer thinking so quickly on his feet and just kept bombing the dogs with the power washer, and it kept them from being able to lock onto her and to really cause, you know, like real damage. And so luckily when and the Touro Fire Department and the Reynoldsburg Police Department, they were so fast with their response. They had like a less than 3 minute response time, which was amazing. So I'm so thankful that my child is here. And I mean, I exactly what the senator said. Most of these attacks are pit bulls and Rottweilers, and the most vulnerable people are elderly and children, and they're not being protected. That woman in Pickaway County, she should not have died. Yeah. If the dog wardens would have been able to do their job and put those dogs down when that dog attacked, there was a neighbor on the police body cam footage that said she was just attacked by the dog 2 months prior. Did you know that that dog got shot the day he attacked and killed that woman? He got shot and ran off into the field and attacked someone else. Like, there are certain breeds of dogs and that are just they have a natural aggression built within their breed. It just is, it's who they are. You can't change genetics. You can raise them to be different. Yeah, I personally have met sweet pit bulls. I have, but they are also known that they can turn on aggression at any given moment. You know, there are just certain breeds of dogs that are more aggressive, and people don't take that serious enough. They don't take the ownership, the responsibility of owning them serious enough. These dogs can be weapons.
Thank you,
they are
Senator.
Literally weaponizing these dogs, these animals. And at what point do they stop being pets and become weapons?
Yeah. Thank you for that call, Senator Schickel. We really appreciate it. Senator Schickel mentioned an elderly woman who was killed by a dog attack in northern Kentucky, but Laura Drew just mentioned that you highlighted a very similar case in Ohio, a lady who was out working in her garden and was attacked and killed while her husband was kind of trapped inside and watched, right? I mean, these are horrible situations.
Right. Yeah, that's the case of Joanne Eckelbarger. She was gardening in a little plot at her condo complex outside her front door. And the neighbor's two dogs came, you know, got out of the house and attacked her. Really, it was a very violent and gruesome death. Her husband has dementia and Parkinson's, and he was unable to reach her. So he was watching it from the screened-in porch in horror. In that case, the dog warden had deemed one of the dogs dangerous because a year prior, it had attacked another neighbor and killed her puppy and caused, I think she had three fractures and some stitches in injury to the woman. And the dog owners in the Joanne case, they were charged with violating the dangerous dog law as well as involuntary manslaughter. And they were convicted by a jury in Pickaway County in February. And just this morning, the family of Joanne Eckelbarger filed a civil lawsuit against the Pickaway County dog warden, the condo association, the property managers of the condo, and the dog owners, Susan and Adam Withers.
As they should.
We have another caller on the line. Hi, Peter. Thanks for calling. What did you want to talk about?
Hi. I have my perspective is as currently I am a landlord and I have tenants that have pit bulls. I used to for years. I did telecom work and spent a lot of time on the streets in many different countries in many different states, some rural, some suburban, some city, and so I've had a lot of experiences with pit bulls. I think it's extremely unfair to point to the breed. I have currently in my apartment a couple that has two pit bulls that would never attack anybody. They're just
that's what everyone says until it happens.
Well, Peter, I certainly understand where you're coming from. The email that we got from another listener talked about the many sweet dogs that she has encountered. I think what Larry was raising is that these dogs are just more powerfully built. They have larger jaws. They have more muscle. And so if they do bite, it can be much tougher, much more dangerous and do a whole lot more damage.
You know,
I think that's the point Larry made earlier.
Lucy, did you know that if a pit bull bites and actually gets to lock their jaw, they can kill you in less than 3 minutes?
Mm. Oh, my goodness. I did not know that. Is that something
they lock jaws on their prey. Yes, I have been doing a lot of just research, you know, but these are things that I've known, but I've been, of course, just, you know, researching left and right.
Sure.
And just, you know, trying to figure things out. And I know the only reason why I still have a child is because they weren't able to lock on her. Because they lock on your jugular. That's why they're trained to go straight for your jugular. They're trained to kill.
Well, we're going to be back after another short break to continue this conversation. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking about the thousands of dog attacks that happen in Ohio every year, whether state laws should be strengthened with more serious penalties for dog owners when their dogs attack someone, and we will be talking about how to protect yourself if you are attacked by a dog. A warning to our listeners, we're talking about some very vicious and gruesome attacks, so this might be upsetting for some listeners. My guests are Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Laura Bischoff, Ohio mom Drew Russell, and Licking County Chief Dog Warden Larry Williams. We'd like to hear from you too. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have a caller, Aaron, on the line. Thanks for calling, Aaron. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment, and it's actually two comments now. The first was in response to the former state senator, and I understand he has a very strong point about why there is a lot of data on breed-specific attacks, especially for pit bulls and Rottweilers. I'm a 16-year vet tech with experience. I also did search and rescue, where my job was to get dogs from houses during Katrina. So I've had a lot of experience with many breeds. And the problem with focusing on a breed-specific law, especially for pit bulls and Rottweilers, is there are very large dogs like Brazilian Mastiffs and Chows and Akitas who have incredible jaw strength and can be just as vicious as a pit bull. And also, one of the commenters was mentioning how the pit bulls can kill you in 3 minutes by locking their jaws. They can, but that's not an instinctual trait in pit bulls. That is trained into them. They are protective of their pack, and they can be very protective of their owner. But to actually do the lock and twist that they're speaking of that does the killing action is something that is specifically trained by individuals and usually for the purpose of a dog being a vicious dog.
Okay. Thank you so much, Aaron. I appreciate that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have some other callers on the line that we need to get to. We have Michelle on the line. Thanks so much for calling, Michelle. What's your question or comment?
Hi. So I understand that, you know, we want to impose penalties, but would it not also be of value to say, if you're going to own this type of dog, here are some criteria you need to meet in terms of training, socialization, et cetera. And just to build on what the gentleman said before, those sorts of things, the locking on the jugular, et cetera, that comes with training. It's not something the dog just does. And I'm a small dog owner. And even with my small dog, I didn't take for granted or say, oh, this is a small dog and it won't bite or go after someone. So we've taken the dog for training to prevent that sort of thing, and we reinforce that training.
Mm. Thank you, Michelle. That's important. Training certainly is important with dogs. I want to talk a little bit about what Ohio law says, a little bit more, and then we're going to talk about protecting yourself. Laura, I know there have been efforts to make Ohio's laws tougher. Can you just tell us briefly about those efforts and what has come of them?
Yeah, I want to make it clear that Ohio changed its breed-specific law more than 10 years ago to go away from breed-specific, to focus on the deed of the dog, not the breed of the dog. And there is no discussion in Ohio to go back to focusing on pit bulls specifically or other big dogs. You know, I think Kevin Miller, who is a member of the Ohio House, he's going to introduce legislation in the coming weeks that will focus on getting rid of the two free kills quirk in the law and giving the dog wardens more tools to do their jobs and perhaps enhancing some penalties, although he is hesitant to go too far in that direction because he wants to have a bill that will actually pass the legislature. And, you know, after a horrific fatal attack in Dayton in 2014, there was a string of six different lawmakers that tried to reform the dog laws, and none of that passed. So, you know, we'll see if somebody can make some appropriate reforms for Ohio now. And I also would say, in response to Michelle and Aaron and Peter, the callers, you know, I do think dogs deserve good owners. You know, there's a responsibility when you own a pet to give it the socialization and the love and support that it needs.
Drew,
yeah, I feel like what she's saying, I've said that too, that there needs to be, you know, more training. They need to have this requirements. But if they won't spend $25 to even register their animal, what makes you think they're going to spend the extra money to get that training done.
Drew, what kind of lasting effects has this dog attack had on your daughter, Avery? I mean, thank God she is alive, but what has this meant for her?
You know, it's just changed the trajectory of her life. Luckily, she has really good friends and she's in a pretty good school. But I worry about her on down the line. I'm constantly worried about her mental health. She goes to trauma therapy once a week to talk to her therapist. Avery is a very bright light. She actually wants to talk to other kids that are going through the same thing to try to give them hope for their futures. And she's just really focused on just trying to get back to who she is. She can't play basketball this summer, unfortunately, because of like her surgery schedules and things like that. But she did get to play for her school this past winter season. So that was good because that was what she was fighting for the most, was just to get back on the court with her and be with her friends. Mm-hmm. She won't go really. We don't do play dates anymore. She won't really go over any of her friends' houses, especially if their house has a dog. It's a wrap. It's not happening. Yeah. Any of our family, the only person's house who has a dog that she doesn't mind going to is my mom's. That's the only dog she feels safe and comfortable around. And she doesn't mind the butterfly paws at children's, the therapy animals that they have. But those are the only animals that she will be around.
Larry, I do want to get some advice from you. I mean, how can a person protect themselves from a dog attack? If a dog is coming after somebody, what are your tips? What can somebody do?
Yeah, ultimately, the owner needs to be responsible for this. But what a person can do is, if they see a dog, dogs are animals. You know, we want to make them like their family, which they are a family, but they're an animal, and any animal can bite and attack. So if you see a dog and you don't know it, the best thing is to give distance. If a dog is coming at you, you want to get large and loud. Get your arms out. May look silly. Face.
I think you broke up there just for a minute. Again, you were saying get big, get your arms out. It may look silly. Or you started to say face. I assume you're talking about face the dog. Is that what you're saying, Larry?
Yeah. You want to face the dog, be as loud as you can, and slowly back up to get to a safe area.
So you don't want to run. Will that the dog just start running after you?
Yeah, that's only going to entice it to run after you. And Yeah.
We got an email from Timothy who asked, if a dog is threatening and comes onto my property, can I use pepper spray to protect myself? Larry, what about that? Is that something that people can do under the law or a good idea?
So in the law, there's a law in 955. It says a dog can be killed for certain acts, and you have the right to protect yourself. You have the right to protect family. You have the right to protect another individual. I would caution somebody, you do not have the right to protect personal property. So a dog can't be tearing up your car. It can't be attacking your other dog or anything like that. You know, it can be attacking livestock and you can kill it for that.
But you can't kill a dog if the dog is trying to kill your own pet.
Yes. I mean, you would have to articulate that in court, but that you could potentially set yourself up for cruelty charges.
Yeah. What about if you're out walking in a neighborhood and, you know, there are dogs all over the place, does it make sense to carry an umbrella or something that you could maybe hit a dog with if it starts to attack you?
Absolutely. Umbrella, walking stick, even a taser. You know, they make citizen tasers now, even a stun gun, something, even that sound. Sometimes the dogs, that sound scares them off.
And Laura, we talked a little bit before about reporting, but how important is it for people to report to the authorities if they get bitten by a dog or menaced by a dog? And what, where should people report those things?
Well, they're required to report to the public health agency, but it's also a good idea to report it to the dog warden so that they have a record of what's going on. You know, in that case in Pickaway County where Joanne Eckelbarger died, the reason why the prosecutors were able to go to a felony, to felony charges in that case, was because they had a previous case on record of vicious behavior by the dog. So it's super important to go ahead and report. I know that a lot of people probably don't report because they don't want to have a fuss with their cousin's dog or their neighbor down the street or what have you, or they may not even know that they're supposed to report it, but it is a good idea to go ahead and report.
And we do have several callers on the line. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to your calls. We have several people who have been arguing this is not a breed-specific problem, and Laura has pointed out that Ohio state law is not breed-specific anymore. It is based on dogs' behaviors and not their breeds. We have someone who encourages that pets should be neutered or spayed and that can help. Larry, what's your experience with that? Is that an important aspect of making sure a dog is safe? Or are dogs, in your experience, less likely to be vicious if they're neutered or spayed?
Yeah, as long as they're done in a timely manner, there's a time window for that spay or that neuter for the aggression. Typically, it's a neuter for the aggression. If you wait too long, it doesn't do any good. I think the most important thing of all this, and not to take anything away from Drew, because, you know,
it's heartbreaking.
God bless you for coming on here.
Thank you.
Sorry. The most important thing is we have to protect the public.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's just like, I say some people shouldn't, just like some people shouldn't have children, some people shouldn't have animals.
Well, I think we can all agree that the public should be protected. I've been talking with Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Laura Bischoff, Ohio mom Drew Russell, and Licking County Chief Dog Warden Larry Williams. Thank you all so much for your time today. Drew, especially thank you to you after all you and your daughter Avery have been through. I really appreciate you all being on here to talk about this very important issue.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Our technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.